Poetry. My unconditional lover gives of himself to me frequently. I am a thankful recipient of his gifts. Tapping the keyboard, I pen what he reveals. I am but one of his passionate vessels, obediently following the amazing path he's preparing for my life. He is the husband who took me as his wife. Without jealousy, we endorse bigamy and polygamy. Sherlock Holmes's trench coat and magnifying glass aren't needed to investigate his cheating ways. I'm fine sharing him with like minds. I study those he loved before me and celebrate with companions of our current affair. This man can do no wrong. Every time I think he's gone, he creeps into my dreams and I awake with prose. He nicknamed me One Single Rose. As long as I have him, I'm never alone. I hold him near and dear in my heart where he belongs. He is my rhyme of reason, seasoning my thoughts with the words and phrases he once heard. He is the seer I hope to follow into infinity and beyond. Poetry does not slam or judge me. Time is of no consequence where we're concerned. I cry on his shoulders. He squeezes me tightly in his arms, hugging me with facts, kissing me with fiction, correcting my diction when I only want to mutter cuss words or drop F-bombs. Militantly, he raises his right hand, giving power to our people. His honesty is paper thin, a muse for poets to deliver truth. I cannot hide from the emotions he allows to escape my essence. With him, I overcame the heartache which began my poetic journey. When I'm pissed, I pack poetry as my gun. He delivers me from evil. We've birthed collections of get-out-of-jail-free cards. Persistent in his approach to inhabit my soul, I willingly gave in. Call me Annie Mae as I consume the expressions he shoves down my damn throat. Love, hate, social issues, religion, politics, erotic, motivation, and inspiration. They taste delicious, Ike. I wear my white bell-bottom suit for our final battle. Now I get it. Every issue deserves a poem. I'll write for everyone. Poetry freed my mind and the rest of me followed. I'm more concerned with tomorrow instead of worrying about mistakes of yesterday. I share blunders from my past with hope that I can influence at least one person's future. My center was hollow before poetry captivated my spirit. He lives within me, the very air I breathe, the wind beneath my wings that makes my heart sing. He will never allow anyone to hurt me ever again. We don't back down when challenged. I'm always ready to fight, suited in poetic armor from head to toe. Cut me and I'll bleed haikus. Nothing will ever change my love for poetry. We are married now. If poems were pills, I'd be a drug addict. Pop the top, damn it. Poetry and I have leaped hurdles of writer's block, simultaneously flipping birds when we knew we could, but people said we couldn't. To hell with what someone has to say. Life, love, and laughter fuel my poetic energy. See, me and poetry rode dirty on streets where we found incentives to write each piece. He answers every time I call, down to rad whenever I knock at his door, locked and loaded with pen and paper in his holster. He is my everything. He is I and I am he. This is a love letter to my man, Poetry.
Beginning of time, the black male has been a king, a slave, a revolutionary, and in current times a target. Not only have we had to fight against racism, we have had to fight against our own kind. Dr. King said, "The time is always right to do what is right." That is why it is now time to awaken our voices once again, to bring forth the truth as only the voices of the voiceless clan. We have been persecuted, prosecuted, electrocuted, washed with fire hoses, bitten by dogs, shot down and choked out. Why? Because of the color of our skin. Because we fit the description. Yet look around you, we have invented most of everything you see. Our sisters helped send men to the moon. Yet we were only considered to be 3/5 of a man. The Supreme Court said a man of African descent couldn't claim citizenship.
Blackmail.
Not the people that the Constitution were talking about. We have been told that we weren't smart, that we couldn't do things that others could do. Yet the Tuskegee Airmen never lost a bomber. The 761st Black Panthers were the ground version of the Airmen, handpicked by General Patton himself, bloodied but unbowed. The revolution was not televised. Congressman John Lewis, a freedom rider and a martyr on Selma, beaten to within an inch of his life, twice, a black male. Dr. Martin Luther King, a stalwart of the civil rights movement, taken by an assassin's bullet, a black male. Emmett Till, George Stinney Jr., two children taken by the racist elements of their time, black males. Malcolm X, the yin to Dr. King's yang, by any means necessary, taken out by his own, a black male. Medgar Evers, a voice for those in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, shot down in the driveway of his home, a black male.
How should we interpret that?
Fred Hampton, shot, no, murdered in his prime, because he dared speak out against those who would hold us back as a community, as a race. He was only 23. A black male. We speak to inform the masses,
black male.
Not just hear ourselves talk, not just to be there for no
black
reason.
Male.
Malcolm X said, "A man who stands for nothing
black
will
male.
Fall for anything." We won't fall.
Black male. How should we interpret
I hope that each and every one of you takes something
black
away
male.
From the fruits of a poet's labor. That you truly hear the voices of our ancestors. That you understand what it means to be black male.
How should we interpret that?
We tend to categorize black boys based off of their appearance, their socioeconomic status, and their academic achievement. And it's very easy to do so when you find out that 54% of black boys will never graduate from high school, or only 54% of African Americans graduate from high school. That 2.5 times of black boys will be suspended more than their white peers. And 1 in 3 black males born today, yes, I said 1 in 3 black males born today will see the inside of a prison cell. How does this make you feel? Now, buckle up. This is all a part of the Obama effect. With the election of President Obama, we, for even a brief moment, believed Dr. Martin Luther King's dream that little black boys and little black girls could be whatever they put their mind to. Doctors, lawyers, mayors, presidents, heck, even I wanted to run. But I also realized that it negatively reinforced something. It negatively reinforced that black kids can no longer make excuses because President Obama is in the White House. And because they can no longer make excuses, it's because they live in what we like to kindly call a post-racial society. A post-racial society is a society that we all live in today, of course, where it's completely void of, you know, racial injustice, systemic bias. Nobody goes to jail at disproportionate rates. But do they? With the election of President Obama, the only way that black boys can ever succeed is if they choose to take the high road. This high road, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, to the White House is a very slippery slope, and it has no staircase. And so what we do to tell black boys that they can be a success is if they follow through. Exceptionalism, assimilation, and respectability policy. Exceptionalism says that, by all means, please distance yourself from anyone that you think is less than. And assimilation says, well, when you get in the room, make sure you take off as much blackness as you can so that when you walk into that space, white people feel comfortable. And respectability politics says that when you are in that room, make sure that your conduct and the room is appropriate and that everyone looks at you as you ought to. But that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, because if we're telling little black boys that they have to be exceptions to the rule, assimilate, and be respectable, how can we ignore these things? The pyramid of respectability. This pyramid of respectability, whether we're conscious of it or not, we judge black men based off of it. We say that black men can either be prisoners, working class, high school grads, college grads, or the elite. And whether how high or low they go, as long as you occupy the black body, you will still be susceptible to racism.
You are listening to Uprising Radio.
Bring your peace, bring your peace, bring your
go in, go in,
go in.
This beat rounds on us. Uprising Radio presents No Host Bars.
Haunted by her sexy. As I walk in the door, I am greeted by the kiss of her scent. Dreaming I could wrap my arms around it, dragged in by effervescence. I search for her with deliberate diligence. Pineapple body spray, her signature fragrance, parting my lips, hoping to taste her. She was standing right here. She might be here in the kitchen. Ice cubes crackling, floating in a glass of cranberry juice. Half empty, half full. The lip print isn't even dry. Parting my lips for a sip, hoping to taste her. So much sweeter she is than this, for I am craving her. Knees weakening, crawling down the hallway. The radio was playing track number 3. She was just here. Still hearing her voice in the walls, racing to the bathroom, still steamy, like our lovemaking, breathing deeply in hopes of capturing her vapors. The soap is still wet, the washcloth is relentlessly dripping, as if pacing her name by syllables. I stick my tongue out to catch one, still missing, like I'm missing her. Her lip gloss lays on the sink, naked. I part my lips, hoping to taste her, kiss her. God, I miss her. Slowly I open the bedroom door, look at her panties on the floor, enthralled in her jeans. I tremor and fiend as the aromatic sensation of the smell of them teleports me to realistic, fantastic fantasies that make me part lips, hoping to taste her. Clutching them still, I race to the mirror, hoping I can catch her reflection. I swear that was her in a glimpse. She was just here. Blessing this mirror with her silhouette. Weak now, knees buckled, crawling, dragging to the bed. I can smell her dreams. I lay within her incantation, nestling where she once was, shivering, clutching panties, embracing her pillow, stroking it like strands of hair, becoming aroused, needing her here right now. I am extorting, contorting, twisting, afraid to open my eyes. I am haunted by her sexy. That was written in pain.
They Don't Much Call Me Dixie Anymore. Written by Sylvia Blaylock, Thursday, September 13th, 2018. This is an acrostic poem. The first letter of every stanza spells out the phrase, "I wish I wasn't Dixie."
I'm iconic. In your dreams, instigating sad songs, left to Dixie's fall and all her wrongs. Way down away, down when country comfort and cotton were, way down south a ways, I wish I was in Dixie. That's what they say. Wondering where you ran to when you ran away alone, wondering about your freedom out there where you roam. The cotton bloomed here without you. Visions of good times ran off with you too. There's still yet so much work here left to do. I'm wondering if wishing made you feel what I felt too. I'll be ready if you ever come back. You see, I keep a small satchel already packed. Many a bill came through, and sometimes it took a will or two to see it through. But I'll leave with you without thinking twice. For that freedom, I have paid the price. Slavery is showing cracks and turns. Some run loose, some are returned. Not seeing you became my mantra and fear. Not seeing you broken meant not seeing you here. How I wish you were in Dixie too, but then again, they torture you. The way I've made peace was in the shade of trees that swung heavy with strange fruit in the breeze. Imagining you looking sharp and dressed fine while eating the best food and drinking the best wine helps my captive mind pass the time. I was the noose around your neck and now the longing masked regret. Wounded souls that don't set right to heal grow twisted when longing won't pay the bills. Freedom costs, such as it is, and with no bed to speak of, I'm summoned up to his. Aligned with those who would see you hang, giving what isn't taken felt like vows forsaken. Survival is interest compounded daily. My every free action has a price, and I am creative. Pain. Securing foundation with these jackals resulted in babies with light skin and freckles and a house with its own kitchen and privacy to do business in. In spite of what was done to me and part due to what I agreed, we carved a path out for being free by satisfying their servile needs. We lived in fear, but with our own. We worked our freedom to the bone. Negress, if you please, if you must address me with a false sense of prestige. Sex slave or courtesan, madam, or just a hair salon. Facade of the airs we had to put on because we knew seeds were planted and strong fruit grew. Sent away, look away, run away from Dixieland. Dixie kept it pushing and carved a way through, but never forgot you. A separate culture was formed, and in it we ruled our own. The offspring of Dixie were now fully grown. No more would they bow nor back of the bus ride. They demanded what had been denied, Dixie's pride. Inevitably, we were all perceived to be more than a little ambitious and just too uppity, burnt out, driven away, chased where the road led, come what may. Babies burned, rights overturned, exodus to the west, cashing out what we could from our still smoldering nest. If you're whistling to me, I'm not there. We gathered our babies and left out together. Those sisters stuck together, and through tough times they weathered. I wish I was in Dixie, they sang from freedom's distant shores, singing to the bonny bells while thinking of the black whores. For whoredom, much like freedom, has a price for all who want some, taken for granted by those with privilege, used to empower an entire village. Eventually, everybody sang that tune of cotton and courage they all did croon with painted faces that bore no traces of respect gone unchecked. Bamboozled masses in dusty rose glasses long for the days of the long past old scores. We did hair, watched the children cook, scrub floors and hoard until our knees were sore. Oh, they remember us, but they don't much call us Dixie anymore.
They don't much call me Dixie anymore. Written by Sylvia Blaylock, Thursday, September 13th, 2018. This is an acrostic poem. The first letter of every stanza spells out the phrase, I wish I was in Dixie. You are listening to Uprising Radio.
Yeah. Myself falling for a societal contradiction. He has a cornucopia of offspring. I have none. I am not barren, extremely fertile. In fact, I just have none. These progeny are attached to multiple birth vessels, one of which has already produced her drama card. He brings home more Andrew Jacksons than Benjamin Franklins. His mutual funds are dissected and distributed amongst the young with his features. There is not much left over for me. He rides more often than he drives, and on occasion, he borrows more than he lends. I have more than he from the outside looking in. A reversal of fortune is more readily acceptable by society. But he treats me like I am the original Eve. Now, does that make him any less of a man? Does that mean that he has no right to be loved by me? We met by chance in an underground oasis, stalking, hunting each other simultaneously. He has views of polyutopia dominating all that he surveys. His thought patterns defy conventional wisdom. Treading a new path daily is his liability. More than intellectual, brilliance is an insult. His confidence has birthed a new religion in me. His beauty is unconventional. Not what I'm typically attracted to, but he draws me like a magnet. Staring into his eyes intimidates my soul. He has hypnotized me. Relishing in his herbal relaxant, no excuses are offered in a futile attempt to conform. The conviction of his credence is an aphrodisiac in itself. It makes me want to do some extremely ignorant things within his personal space. Now, does that make him any less of a man? Does that mean that he has no right to be loved by me? Occasionally, frequently, I have to pick up the check. But when the waitress arrives, she is none the wiser, for I slip the cash to him under the table, soon to be rewarded for hours in appreciation of his pride. His supernatural prowess is one more thing the man can never take from him. Proudly he wields his phallus like a sword. And though this physical compensation is not required, I am not foolish enough to turn my back on bliss. Does this make him any less of a man? Does that mean that he has no right to be loved by me? Oh, yes, he is truly a real man, and he deserves to be loved by me. For yes, God does bless the child that has his own, but he also does not forsake those in the struggle to get there. So know that it is just as easy to love a rich man as it is to love his struggling brother. I am edified by my choice. Be clear when you make yours. What is the measure of a man? Is it the power that he holds in the palms of his hands? Is it the grace in his stance, or determination that he shows behind a prideful glance? What is the measure of a man?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're all messed up, thinking about what you had and lost. Did not realize the well was precious until all the water was gone. Now you hate every kind of love song and hate to see one happy couple. I guess because I'm blessed with somebody else, you can't stand the game of my happiness. Why you gotta be a hater? You ought to be an appreciator. I know you hold mad resentments. You never could forgive a brother. Between you and God, though, you never did me faithful. Beat me with the guilt of me not being monogamous. We never really had love, but you was better with the secret of neither of us innocent. Two rights will never make a wrong. Two wrongs will never make a right. Us, that was another life. But I just had to dig it up. I forgive and forgave, it's all passé, but you still despise my name. Like I murdered something? Tell the truth and shame the devil. You wouldn't hate me so much if you didn't love me so much. I guess that's why I never hear from you. Now you're all messed up, thinking about what you had and lost. Did not realize the well was precious until all the water was gone. Now you hate every kind of love song and hate to see one happy couple. I guess because I'm blessed with somebody else, you can't stand the gain of my happiness. Well, yeah.
I asked Lisa Ann to anoint my pillow with oil to prevent the bad dreams, because the other night a godless hand covered my nose as I fought to breathe. My speech is naked. Closed ears don't want truth. Said I can keep it and come back when decent. My fabric ripped from its seams. I felt my spirit leave and cleave to a fading star. Best believe I will revive its shine, and although the instruction will be hard, I will turn this vinegar back into wine, as mothers with their children point from afar. My birthright is an extension of God's promise, a poet kissing the cheeks of a lost beat. But on the real, I'm trying to stomp amongst the elites. My fellow poets, let's speak, let's defeat, because art preach reverses the approaching heat, burning the unseen fallen fleet that mount up on the wings of the dragon. Our words should be less idle and less strive for our actions to back them, stopping the bleeding of our sister's vicious cycle of her babies still tagging their siblings as rivals. The OGs have washed their hands clean of the young ones who left their index and thumbprint of somebody's childhood and died over some dumb shit on the casings to a 357 Magnum, regretfully passed down from an old school captain. This is now what we call survival. I will not be labeled. I am a poet untitled, whose writings bestow the mind-blown divine symmetry that made Enoch say whoa and God introduced him to the cosmos through my recital. My ego tells me that I have a voice of communion wine, but if my self-righteousness spoken causes confusion, then it is I who shall surely die, for it is nothing but the grapes crushed underneath the feet of swine. I write to keep from losing my mind, hoping somebody finds theirs, for the marbles I've lost become the pieces to a wind chime that hang above porches where the elderly converse about the good old days and current jive, but pause to hear the dangling design mingle with the breeze and rhyme. I am poetically justified. It's the tentative ears that give me that adrenaline rush that really can touch. And to the parents who put your kids on that shit, you need to be jab-smacked, because that shit's like crack. I sat in time out where the feminine was shooken up, while I was preparing to walk in my gift while living in dust. Asbestos, my fellow poets, y'all inspire me. Because when my spirit feels tired and weak, y'all's poetry sparks the wildfire spreading amongst the dead leaves within me. Like a kiln that steadfast in the form of a clay, I need my pen like a junkie musician who refuses to play unless he is fetched an eight ball of yay. They say that all poets are loons, and some of y'all really are fucked up. That's because God's touch of the full moon has separated us from the pack, and it's the lonely one's howl that's so poetic in the understanding of its abstract. I know my pen is guided by a force much more powerful than me. That's why when the piece is completed and applauded, I make a beeline to my seat. See, through our mouths, our pain is made appealing. I've seen one woman's horror become another woman's healing. And through you, the young men hear the struggles of their mother and how they kept your smiles big, slaving for overtime to put you in those shoes you claim no man can walk a mile in. Our black mothers birthed the links that form the family fence, similar to a stick figure drawing of a kindergartner. Let's give them a reason to draw the father back into the fold, for there's no divorcing permanent marker. Here's the brown one, baby girl, because you got to make that one darker. My pen glides the saliva of Elijah, giving you a double portion of my poetry, rattling the bones of a dead man. For every disease, there is a cure, for this is the home of the red man. For the earth is in pleas, for a pick sore would never heal. Capitalism in pure form is impure. And on the real, some real shit, y'all, all whites ain't devils, for God uses whoever he chooses, so who am I to meddle? Interracial couples catching hell from both sides, family slinging shit and piss mixed. That you get to ask yourself, is it love, true love, or is it that she has less lip or the nigga's got a big dick? Any way you look at it, the color coordinate, there is no quick fix. And to my revolutionaries, may your poetry be as the war paint streaked across the faces of those who say I'd rather be gunned down by 12 than carried by the 666. All right. For the gifted kids in class who can't sit still. I write for the poets who do this shit for real. And blessed is the prisoner who finds poetry when tearing the orange's pulp from its peel.
Greatness, an introduction. My thinking will always be elevated above the norm that have the herd mindset to continuously conform. I'm outside the box. I don't know. It's like the inner rebel in me won't mean to take that particular form. I once did, then I learned, and side of my head is the chaotic storm. I harness bits and pieces of wisdom from, and it comes from something ancient and old. This I know, though. Not always inner and understanding these intrusive thoughts, but now I have the inner and understanding that they intrude my daily thinking for a purpose of service to penetrate the vision of a mentally and spiritually struggling and blind. Starving for wisdom and shine. Here we go now. Meditate with me and get to know the power of the eye behind your eyes. Salutations to those whom have taken the plunge into an inner awakening, for the journey is both painful and amazing. You'll lose a lot that you once thought mattered, and once that weight is lifted, you'll be introduced to the wisdom you could have never have fathomed. The world will change for you right in front of your mind, and when you try and discuss it with your daily cattle, they'll always say your thinking is absurd. I don't really do it no more. I just keep my wisdom written in poetic verse and in some dramatic spoken word for you few who are open enough to capture new views. But remember, this is greatness. So see, the diversity of my thinking is a hurricane within, confusion to those whom are sleeping with eyes wide open. A storm is coming like a big old ominous cloud in my periphery, reaching out to the one that can't be found unless you delve deep within. My focus is now on a higher level of thinking, truly awake now, no longer dreaming. There's a love of strength that I won't surrender. This I know to be my destiny. There's a thirst for truth that I will not be quenched, for a force of emotion I just cannot seem to refuse. But it's been a long journey to get to this point where I can confidently admit I am greatness. The spirit inside me keeps telling me the world is mine, and I have the power to shape this. Manifestations, universal attracting tenfold, as karma giveth and taketh all that we hold. I'm different, yet I'm the same. The poet of my soul has a sweet reason for expressing these feelings, so listen up to those of you not far behind me, for this is greatness's song and the natural design of me, the natural blueprint of we, as we were sent and meant to discover the greatness forgotten and buried deep inside of humanity. That's Rebel P. That's that piece.
The seasons we spend together, dressing of our thoughts, covering culinary consciousness, alluring along aromas, like early breakfast, freshly breathing. And these scents, the rooms of houses, the rooms of hearts, eyes closed, breathing in her existence of presence in open spaces, like legends of the blind, like books cracked for first time, the smell of her soul binds to these visionary times. The taste buds of my mind salivate over her memory savored. Craves the smell of that breeze that burst across her lips before she said she loved me, that kissed her skin as I stared into her eyes. As love was in the air, the scent of the sun dancing within her pheromones on wrists, vertical dance for us, bachata. We cuddle as things spice up, canoodle like salsa. No longer got a chip on my shoulder. She removed everything out of my bag. I carry no extra luggage, but I carry the hunger for her. Eating up the joy as I indulge in the passion of the simple, inclusive moments. Damn, I miss the way she tastes. My taste buds and mine salivate for her memories. As the seasons we spent together cover culinary consciousness, alluring my hunger. That's why that's that piece.
Invisible monsters are nothing new. From under the bed or in the next room, creeping things that slither are crawling things that wither. In the light of day, or when the closet door is open. Whether message on frosted window or tracks without origin in virgin snow, fear is now digitally triggered, seemingly at random, moved from nightmares to fandom. Dare me, scare me from boredom. Motivate me to your lane, make me fearful of foe. pain. Make me something restrained, something broken and contained. Make me cautious with my freedom. Make me careful. Make me dumb. Make me pray to kingdom come. Just don't take my internet yet. Or disconnection I might get. You've taught me fear bigger than any when you charge down to the last penny for every pixel and every baud that allows this pen to say it loud. Yet and still, with the wave of a wand, my computer goes dark, as does my home and my squad. Timed blackouts, don't be alarmed. Continue to shelter in place, and no one should be harmed. First here, then there, cell phone tower disturbances and discourse from other people's circuses. You'd think, a smart group of urban kids, we'd expect this kind of thing and offer some services. Side hustle the apocalypse and that kind of thing. It trips me out, because I hear my own place creaking. But we ain't that old. Ain't no seawater seeping. Just the adjustments of the world around me. Cracking under the pressure of God's grace around me. But enough about me. Back to the point. We are here in the dark with an internal compass to point. And no digital stars to map to. No point of reference to latch our plan to hatch to. No agreed upon frequency to fix our search to. No safe place to converge. No way to see this thing through. Wouldn't it be amazing if on 010121 made the whole world brand new and loaded with grace? If we swirled out of danger like in Lost in Space, and those angry racist protesters were all met with environmental mace? If everywhere they went, hay fever followed along? If their only salvation was the Claritin versus Benadryl song? If that? And while they struggled with COVID-infested sneezing, we watched their infiltration from YouTube while safely at home, enjoying cuffing season, while working from home and still working our freedom to the fucking bone, fighting by invalidating with the absence of our attention. If we woke up to a new year when we valued our mission, if we woke up to a new year when it would never again be killing niggas season, well, this isn't Disney, but the end is going to be graphic. One can get to the point of this without being telepathic. The wishful Christmas miracle versus umoja-induced reality. I wish I could say this is the living dream, but it has been a living nightmare to me. You see, wishing people ill in any kind of way goes against my better nature and not how I spend my days. But waking up to Lucy and her fucking football makes me question why stabby is a bad way to convey my utter, complete and utter rejection of the subjection of my peace of mind. That I continually rebuke the non-consensual re-education, a blazing of my raging that will leave all around me scorched. Turned a woman of purpose to a bitch that just wants you off my fucking porch. Well, the two are the same. And the game cost me much. Fear can take no hold when we have nothing left to lose but fear. It knows. Its end is near. And that's that piece.
Electric. But you never had nobody like this. Had lipstick kiss like this. Girl, come with the drop of a dime. But the kitties ain't quite like mine. See, I got this little thing that I do. If you were my man, I would do it to you. Thanks for the drink, but you better move. Cause I'm up in here with you.
And I'm the shit with this shit, Charlie. I'm the shit.
Wow.
I'm not a stripper, but where that money at? I'm not a freak, I'm not a nasty hoe. Well, I'm lying, but I'm classy though. I'm like you, I wanna get it. To the bedroom, hit it. I'm not a diss, I got a brain. You saw my titties before you see my face. It's all good, nigga, don't be shame. I will feel the same, cause I know you.
Yeah, I'm the shit, with this shit, I'm the shit. 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 With this shit, I know what I'm doing. With this shit, I'm the shit. With this shit, I'm the shit. With this shit, I'm the shit.
Do what I do, so I need to make sure you on point. Okay? Alright.
The prophets in the beginning were musicians. They were poets, writers, and that's what we've been tasked with in this life. Shit is actually kind of humbling.
Recap. Emmanuel, born in a place that wasn't even on the map. You hear me, man? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yeah. He was about to open up a new realm. And it was about to be on. That from a baby, a hit was on him. From King Heron, his plans went left, wrong. An angel from the Lord said, "Be gone." Mary and Joseph took what they could, grabbed baby Jesus and fled from the hood. Growing up, Jesus, he wasn't understood, misunderstood. Considered too hood, God's son, nah, how could, in their eyes, he wasn't no good, how could he hang around such mess, and be God in the flesh, how could he be full of righteousness, how could he change lives? Could he bless? I ain't done. Whispers, ain't he the carpenter's son? Yeah, he's the one, Joseph's son. I'll be damned, son of a gun. And he's claiming to be God's son? You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees have become angry, fallen by the tons from the ones who thought they were the big guns. Their hatred couldn't stop who was indeed God's son. In him I am well pleased, spirit descending like a dove, agape love, resonating from above. So tell me, how could he be legit, hanging around them misfits? I just wanted to get along, to belong, wanting to understand what I did wrong. Their taunt sounded like a loud off-key song. To them, I was absurd, what they called a nerd, secluded from the popular herds. No cliques, no clubs, no high fives, no friendly hugs. Young, yet life pulled up under me the rug. I am miserable with being invisible, walking through the corridor, nothing but an object. In gym class, never getting picked. Whatever team I was on, they became vets. Every day, life as an unknown. Lunchtime, I would eat lunch all alone. My only peace was being in my room at home. No call, so I had no need for a telephone. It would be better off for everyone if I was gone. I know I wouldn't be missed. In my life, a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. Felt as if my heart too broken to be able to be restitched. If I wasn't such a coward, I would end all of this, giving my mother one last kiss. But here I sit, not knowing what to do with me, with life, with these dark, pessimistic days and nights. In anger, I hit the wall, ball, fist, piss. Down and reminisced on the days I was good at painting, at singing, at dancing. I dusted off an old 45. I tilted my head back and closed my eyes, belting out a song from way deep inside. It sounded so beautiful that I couldn't deny. When I was done, I was surprised to see my mother standing in the doorway with tears filled in her eyes. Something within me realized that even though not wrapped up like others, I'm still a prize. Even in pain, something within me no longer wanted to quit. A gift put here with a voice to uplift. I must admit, today I will allow self-love to enter, permit, and embrace that I am different. A beautiful created entity. Yeah, that's me. A wide smile materialized across my face. My head held high and stayed in place. A light within me lit. Take it or leave it. I'm a unique misfit. Not even in the temple should they sit. Only place they should pray is in the crypt. Jesus came for the veil to be ripped, separating religion from relationship. House of God, yet two different nations. Manifestation of his consecration. See that photo of Jesus holding a lamb? That's not all he is. No, sir. No, ma'am. Church mouse? Nope. With his father's name, Jesus played no games. Disrespecting his father's house. Him being soft is most definitely fable. Den of thieves. Jesus told them to bounce, turning over tables, taking a stand, revolutionary. That's the Jesus that I understand, a warrior man who was strong yet gentle enough to take a whore by the hand, by men who wanted her to be stoned, knowing their plot, he already had a plan, bending down, writing each name who had sex with her in the sand. Through their hateful moans, Jesus kept on writing. Who without sin cast the first stone? After writing the final name, standing up straight, they were all gone. In a guilt, they went home. About that time to be seated on the right hand of the Father throne. Their hatred full grown. Even though he was the boss, not one time did he floss. The original G took everything they dished out right up to the cross, counting up the cost. This is why I'm no longer lost. Nah, he ain't no blood, but his blood was shed, gangsta love. If your life doesn't fit, you must acquit. He wants his bond with you to be tighter than a glove. Sustain you through the mire and the mud. Be your water when you're thirsty. When you're hungry, be your food. Jesus is holy, yet comprehending your hood. Aji, that hood Jesus. Yeah.
You are listening to Uprising Radio.
My exodus from the state's gates was my new birth. The parole board is the umbilical cord. My rock-hardened frame is consoled by the November morn. 1201, the skies are darkened. The constellations rejoice. It is now cell free. I hearken to the purring of my father's engine. The smell damn near overwhelmed me. As I caress its interior leather, my trialing duress is weathered. Nigga breathe. A chess game sharpened. Is your life to foresee and proceed with sheer technique? Yes, I am ready. Because those same dreams that teased me will be lyrically Tai Chi to torch the earth at my speed, but on God's time. The complex looks so huge from the side view. Word is bond to the solid who bleed the G-code, oath bladed by the T-R-U. When I get it right, I'll shoot you that tight fool. I know you niggas is hot and y'all forced to make tight moves, so I'll write in clue. But I have not forgotten about the annual leprous bruise due to each dead calendar. And when it comes time to eat that godforsaken food, they began to turn the same hue as Miles Davis's blues, trumpeting the melancholy I've titled Felon, they call me. Good dudes are dirty because they have to, yet and still, man up, deemed unclean. So with the biggest of smile, we are exiled to the land of the lost. Whether it's to the reformatory or the farm, we are hung, brought golden chains, but we leave our baby mamas the charm. But I swear that this messenger's well will never run dry, for our children are blindly searching at the bottom, guided by the echoes of the thirsty. Cell phones and shanks, this is the bottom, the bank, the vault. Where social debtors are now interest. See, this is what's to become of all heathens, hustlers, and killers who were caught. And I refuse to look back to be transformed into a pillar of salt. Reprocessed, shoveled, and thrown back onto the institution's frozen walk. Where the inbred supervise the controlled movement. State-issued boots sounding off, Eddie Kane, you stupid. You see, I understand that recidivism is the gift that keeps on giving. Capital cannibalism, see, Wall Street had already made their money back. They fronted it to us on consignment like, hey, we know you niggers love Cadillacs. This is cotton, just right. We call it crack. We sold our souls for something that sells itself. America, the cerebral gangster in stealth. Combination locks tied to the end of belts. They didn't shut off our hot water, giving us a reason to act the way we smell, like barbarians in his own against the Aryans. One of you whores is going over the rail, so now you can hire Hitler in hell. California sunshines want slap away from high heels. Niggas run this shit, bitch. Bow down and share the same fate as a German shepherd predecessor and pop that cyanide pill. I never really understood why brothers were coined with the term monkey, when man is an unknown species. It don't matter whether you black, white, or brown. I do not believe in evolution, but when locked down, they all throw feces. But it was he who blanketed my mind in his bloodstained banner. Hate and its tumorous malignance of bitterness will invite cancer. And what disrespect. Women coming to see they man with hickeys on their necks. I guess she got you on the hook because she's the one that put that money on your books. My God, rest the soul of my nigga Anthony. The only dude from the hood to come through months later really vacuum my cool when they say to Eddie Kane, turn on the news. You know it's a dull feeling inside when your loved ones die and you can't cry no matter how hard you try. But faith is irrelevant to sight, for my hairline did not recede despite all the misery and bullshit and strife. Words that carry on fueled my tank twice, so gorgeous and a smile so bright. Looked me in my eyes across that table and said, boy, we niggas for life. And I said, mama, I'm gonna put that in a piece because that's tight. For there's no woman's perspiration for me to taste, so we are pacified with naked flicks of thick chicks' legs wrapped in satin and lace. That's why now when they lay across my lap, my fingertips trace every fine detail, and with a mid-swift pace, my hands race across her skin, sounding like the whispering wind that make haste to escape the daylight's dawning grin. Ooh, how I miss you. Now, I understand that I am not a prison poet. Okay, I was a poet way before prison, so before I get to the ending, allow me to redirect your attention back to the chessboard that I mentioned in the beginning, where the black man or the piece is captured by the patience of the hating mason, stolen away to be cremated. The crooks become soot, used as ink to tap the urban poet in my back. Inside the scroll are the words of a servant chosen to lead the counterattack. So before they can record you, allow me to speak for you, all gangster disciples and VL, all as well who can't see the sunset from their cell. My time was cut due to a college degree earned. I will not return. My 7 years was my number of completion. I am out of here. So to those who don't know, I know it might seem strange why this grown-ass man is casually riding his bike in the rain. It's called freedom.
I wanted to tell you how I felt about the year 2020. See, it was real funny, and I don't mean it in the ha-ha way, honey. It was that kind of fucked up that you don't want to talk about. You know I'm talking about? That, like, secret that's in your family where you have this uncle whose name is Peaches and y'all don't speak in it. Right. When you have that aunt, her name is Crystal Pat. She has a roommate that she's been friends with since high school. They went to college together, and y'all know that. And what you actually think about when you speak about that aunt, you don't raise your voice and shout, is that, oh, my God, she could probably be a gay. There were so many Christians in my life that I felt like, how could that be? No way. But what people fail to realize is nobody chooses who they love, who will leave, and who will stay. You love the people who love you, and you do so every single day. And when I've been in relationships previously, and people would side-eye me and think that I'd done the wrong thing, and I'd have to ask myself, really? Is this what you're thinking of me? I don't even care because it's 2020, and this is the year where everything was rare. First thing that came into my mind was, how did I get here? Did I lose it? Oh, maybe I made a wrong turn back there somewhere. Or I got on the bus and was carrying too many bags. Was I a bag lady? Or did I not know which way I wanted to go? Nah, I'm going to tell you what it was. I didn't realize that this wasn't the rehearsal. It's the fucking show. You got to show up and show out. This is what it's all about. See, there's something else that's in this life that has an urgency that makes me believe. I have to begin and end with the things that are indigenous to me. So the funny thing about it is this. I didn't even realize that this was even my gift. No, it was the thing that I was given and a way that I was chosen to speak. Please understand that I'm not for the mild or the weak. I have to say everything that I say with my chest because, damn it, I know what's best. There be some things out here that make me so upset that I will say, who are you talking to? And give you the side eye, too. And the reason that I'm saying this to you is because I've been feeling it too. 2020 was some garbage. I'm talking about needed to be set out on the curb. I don't say it often, but since I found out that Gina was a verb, all I could think was this. How in the hell did we get here, sir, miss? Is this something that I can just delete or walk away from? Is my life incomplete? Nah, I peeped what was going on. 2020 was just trash, and all you can do is try to make it last. So what you got to do is pull yourself up, pop your collar, and believe that that cape that's underneath your clothing is real. Don't be meek. Be the superhero that you were destined to be. Hell, I'm Gina motherfucking Storm. You can't ask me. I've been through so much that I thought I wasn't going to make it. I lost cousins and uncle and then my daddy. This is the kind of pain that you can't fake. Yeah, the reality is this. Sometimes life deals you a bad hand. But how you stand up and continue to move on forward without looking back, that's your poker face, ladies and gentlemen. So you can wallow in it, and you can say that the hurt that you have and the pain that you're due is something that you needed to do because it was destined to you. But what you fail to realize is this. Sometimes you're being remiss. You need to accept and appreciate the life that was given to you. Don't accept the trash. Pop your collar. Wipe it off your shoulder. And know that this is not the swan song. That that lady ain't singing and this day is not your last. God willing. And I live to be 51 next Wednesday. I'ma turn up like you ain't never seen me. I'ma be on mic showing out. I'm talking about thong on, nipples removed, bra, doing the goddamn thing. I need y'all to understand this. I've been through some things and some of them could have killed me, but none of them did. So I'm resilient, and I will continue on. If I can do it, you can too. 2020 was some garbage, but 2021, come on, Ma, I got you. I'm Gina Storm. Thank you for indulging me.
In peace.
I hardly had a belly full, never knew a new bicycle, hand-me-down books and shoes. They brought the Yuletide in July. I rode a bus, train, sometimes strolling for miles to a movie show, singing a song, shoo-be-doo, while birds and rich folks flew right on by. But we got by. We got by. We got by. Lord knows we got by. Beloved, fire-minded Earth sister, pooling and now cooling in the sweet and still waters, I feel the future flow through me waiting. Moonlight-infused mentals move in two-step. No matter how dark the walk, no matter how far, that song you sing that sets our pace. That swing to your arm that powers forest field motion making moves. I can't help but admire the depth you move your struggle through. Bone deep devotion to knowing the truth. Kaleidoscopic brain power so hard to figure out. You are all that you are and so much you don't even know. Allowing enough room in your soul to hear, to learn, and to grow. I love you. I love you. Beyond what I thought self-love could ever be. Ooh. Thank you, amazing soul that we are. The one who wields the pen and the one deeper still within. That's our show.